This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So when we talked about Salah, question first about Salah. When you talked about Salah in regards to making yourself free from any worries or concerns before you start your Salah to focus on khushu'. The question is, I work on an emergency medical setting and sometimes I'm the only one at site and need to be standby for any emergency with the patient. Is it better for me to delay my prayer after my shift so I can focus better? Although due to the time, I usually pray, but due to being called at any time, I find myself not focused with proper khushu'. What can I do in this situation? Do your best. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That you only do your best, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you feel that delaying it after the shift, while the salah time is still valid, it's not like the time expired. No, you need to pray within the limited time for the salah. But if you're going to delay it after shift and the shift is going to, the time salah expired, no. You pray on time regardless of the quality right now. But you do your best, inshallah ta'ala, to the best of your ability. Obviously, when it comes to safety and saving people's lives, it takes a priority. Even if you're in salah and there's an emergency, you have to break your salah and go attend that emergency and come back again to do your salah again, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, the safety of people takes a priority over here, inshallah azza wa jalla. Is it permissible to close your eyes during salah if it increases your concentration tremendously? It's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi. But if you do that, it would not invalidate your salah. If you do it, it would not invalidate your salah. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that if it increases your khushu' under the circumstances, then you should do that. But don't make this a habit. Like, even at home, you close your eyes. No, if you're in a masjid, for example, kids running around, I understand. If you had to pray outdoors, for instance, when cars are driving, people are walking, then in this case, do your best. But if you're going to be praying at home or in the masjid, alhamdulillah, when no one is there in front of you, don't close your eyes. Focus on your sujood spot as the Prophet ﷺ recommended. So for those who have no much time really at work to do their salah, such as dhuhr, would it be better to take more time in the fard salah or to pray the sunnah and fard, but maybe with less khushu'? Well, the fard is more important, there's no doubt about it. But don't sell yourself so short. Don't do that. You can still pray the sunnah and the fard, but instead of reciting surah, for example, Yasin in your fard salah, recite short surahs with khushu'. Better than trying to make long surahs in your fard salah and you miss in your sunnah. I would say pray your sunnah and your fard inshallah to the best of your ability. If you realize you had no khushu' on your salah, should you repeat your salah? The answer is no. If you do that, I'm afraid the shaitan will take advantage of that and gonna cause you to start having waswasa, like obsession with it. And you start keep repeating it again and again and again, and then it ruins your life. You would never enjoy salah after that. When I try to recite in salah, I find difficulty reciting with tartil, with my head looking at the sajda. Can I look forward towards the wall or lift my head a little higher in order to beautify my recitation? No, looking down is actually more important than the beautification of your recitation. As long as you recite proper tajweed in terms of, you know, the pronouncement is correct, it doesn't have to be beautified. So beautification of salah, of recitation, is an extra thing. You try to practice this, inshallah ta'ala, while you're looking down as much as possible. By the way, some questions I have to skip them because they're irrelevant to the subject. Do you have to do sajdat as-sahu for losing focus in salah? The answer is no. But obviously, if you're going to be missing the number of raka'at and you forget which raka'at this is, and if you recite Fatiha or not, then your salah is messed up completely. So therefore, if you have no recollection, how many raka'at, if you recite Fatiha or not, that's when you need to start over. But this time, make it with khushu' inshallah. What about the hadith where all actions of a man are for himself except for fasting? Does this contradict the pure nature of sadaqah? I'm not understanding the question, and how is that contradicting it? As the Prophet says in the hadith, كُلُّ عَمَلُ ابْنَ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. How is that possible? I don't understand the question. If you can, inshallah, clarify, it would be great. How about people who do Hajj illegally? Means they have no Hajj visa. They come a month before Hajj and stay until Hajj time starts. So what about their Hajj, Jama'ah? Is that Hajj acceptable or not? What do you guys think of this? Please let me be one of them at some point, yani, if I can. No, of course, Tawan. We always appreciate the people who follow the regulations because it keeps everybody safe, really. When you have, alhamdulillah, a regulated number of hajjaj, it makes everybody safe. But obviously, if someone does that, I can't say their Hajj is not valid. Yani. Hajj is going to be valid, inshallah, that should be fine. Which reminds me one time, and that's a true story, Allah musta'an, how unfortunately, how the ummah thinks in, yani, we start thinking and give significance to matters that are completely irrelevant to our ibadah and our deen. Like one time, a man came to an imam, not me, he came to another imam, and that was in a Muslim country, in a Gulf country. He asked the imam, "Ya Sheikh, we've been praying behind this imam in this masjid for the past 10 years. 10 years we're praying behind this imam. And then we found out he has no visa, no iqama." And the Sheikh is asking, "Okay," he goes, "is our salah accepted all these 10 years?" And the imam is just like, "La hawla wa la quwwata." Like, has it become one of the shurut of salah, yani, to have an iqama or a legal visa? Or of course, there's this completely irrelevant matter. No. So, a question, what do you think about some masajid that are built so beautiful, like in some Muslim countries where they have, mashallah, in the facing the Qibla, they have beautiful drawings of gardens and waterfalls, and so, like they want you to live in Jannah, yani, basically, like you want to visualize Jannah. What do you think of that? Obviously, that runs against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beautification of the masajid too much is not necessarily needed. So it's better to keep just a clean, alhamdulillah, front so that people can focus on their ibadah. Okay. Someone's saying here, when it comes to tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba, if Allah is pure, accept nothing but pure. What do you think of volunteering to pack food to feed the hungry, but while packing the food, everybody's backbiting? Like there's a lot of gossip going on while backbiting that food. Would that be accepted? May Allah forgive them for their sin and accept from them their good deeds, Ya Rabbil Alameen. If you want to make it all complete, inshallah ta'ala, make sure while you're doing it right as well too. Can you give riba money for people who absolutely need it, not expecting a reward for it? Like, I want to give it, not expecting a reward for it. Example, if someone doesn't have money for medical bills, or maybe people who are non-Muslims and are in extreme poverty, again, not expecting a reward for it, but trying to get rid of that money. Wallahi, if you have this much riba money on you to give it away like this, that's extremely dangerous. I mean, I'm thinking about having, you know, extra money on your saving account, like $2, $3, few pennies here and there. You're talking about hundreds of dollars here. How do you feel safe? How do you go to sleep, you know, with feeling safe that you're collecting this much riba in your account, regardless of the situation right now? How do you even feel safe with that? When the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about riba, he says, dirham riba, just one single dirham of riba, like $1 of riba, is worse than, a'udhu billah, he said, tens of zaniya, basically, zina, committing zina, 36 zaniya, basically, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like exaggerating the numbers. It's like it's worse than committing zina. But unfortunately, we take riba lightly these days because it's not, doesn't look tangible in terms of its harm and damage. But riba is the thing that's causing all the misery, the financial miseries people face in this world. The inflation, the prices of taxes, properties, medical bills, the insurance, all of that. All this goes back again to the same principle of riba, unfortunately. It's extremely dangerous. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran did not wage war against any crime in the Quran, except riba. When he says for the perpetrator, he says, قَالْ فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. You wait because you're waging war against Allah. Because it's truly, riba is waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please don't think that way. If you have this much money that you collect for riba, find a way to get out of it. I don't know what your situation is, but you need really to find a way to get out of the riba. And again, the same question multiple times was mentioned here in terms of the interest and what do we do with this money. And sometimes you say, like, you go and you buy recycling bags and all this and that. Look, listen. And someone also quoted one website about that saying, the ulama, they say basically, fatwa website says, okay, to give the riba money to the poor and the needy, and it's okay for them to do so. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, clearly He said in the Quran, قال ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون. Don't go to the evil thing that you have in your hand and you go give it in charity. It's clear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You are not a true believer until you love for your brothers and sisters what you love for yourself. Would you like someone to give you riba money? Allah, if your standards are so low to that level, Allah musta'an. But if you don't wish to receive riba money, knowing that it's riba money, then how would you like it for your brothers and your sisters? إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبُ لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهَ طَيِّبًا. Now, this opinion of these ulama comes from the fact that they say, look, the sin is on the collector of that riba. When you transfer the riba money from your hand into the hand of the poor, it was transferred into an act of charity, which is acceptable and permissible. So him taking that riba is halal for him. You collecting it, giving it, is haram for you. That's understood. My concern with this fatwa is enabling people to say, well, since I'm having my money in a bank account, why have it, for free? I'll collect the riba and give it to the poor. So I move my money from checking account to saving account, and I will take that extra money and give it to the poor. This statement and this actually argument, I heard from multiple people. They said, Sheikh, I'm putting my money in a bank account. They're already making money off of it anyway. So why keeping it for themselves to recycle that money in their own, pool? I'd rather take that money out of the bank and give it to the poor. And if everybody does that, you tell me, when will you ever abstain from a riba then? Because now you have an excuse for it. No, there's no excuse for that. Don't do this, please. There are many, many good questions, but unfortunately they're irrelevant to the subject of our discussion. So I have to skip them, Jamaa, for the sake of time as well, too. When making dua, should we keep our hands facing down when praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then flip them around when starting our dua? We mentioned that earlier, and you don't have to do that if you don't want to. That's just one of the reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that one time. Wearing garments with artwork. Did the hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving away the garment with artwork to someone else mean that it's okay for someone to have a garment with artwork and pray with it? The answer is yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a special case. His level of focus and concentration is different than yours. We say that it's permissible for you to wear clothes with designs, even if you want to pray with that. But it's always better for you to have a plain clothes, plain carpet area, so you reduce the clutter, obviously, of, keep looking around. And sometimes, and it's funny, sometimes you pray in a masjid, mashallah, the carpet down there is Tabarak al-Rahman, is a piece of art. You start your salah saying Allahu Akbar, and finally after the end of the salah, you find your eyes looking at the right side, because you will follow the pattern of the sujjada, all the way to the end. So make sure to keep focus on your sujood spot. Wow, that's a serious question. I have a Muslim friend who consulted with a local imam, and the imam told him, based on understanding of riba now versus time of Sahaba, it is not haram to work at a bank. Wallahi, let the imam help him on the day of judgment, inshallah ta'ala. I mean, what kind of fatwa is that? Where are you getting that knowledge from? I hope that there's a misunderstanding, you know, between the imam and the one who's asking the question. But jama'ah, it's a pure riba. There is no question about it. If you don't understand how riba works, if you don't understand how banks work, that's your problem. But banks are nothing but mediums. They collect cash from you, give it to business people who go and invest somewhere to guarantee their return with riba. So whatever return you get on your bank account, it's pure riba, nothing else. So how does that differ? I don't know what they're talking about. Okay. So many questions, and finally a question about marriage, somehow. Now, someone says, I owe my old school a textbook and wanted to donate the amount that the textbook is worth because I can't retain the book physically. But I'm worried that the school might use the money for whatever LGBTQ issues because they are known to promote it heavily. Is it better to donate to the school or somewhere else so that I can recompense for my sin? The answer is give it to the school. What they do with it, that's not your business anymore. Just give it to the school. Is it in hand for the dua sunnah? The answer is yes. I've heard opinion that it isn't. Well, we've seen the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he did that. He mentioned the person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not let person raise their hands with a dua and not giving them reward, actually give what they're asking for. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.